Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL from a betting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. He's Matheos, the Podonis. This is the 2022 season preview. How are you, mate?
I'm fantastic. Great to be here. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it is a new year. We're back. New co-host, as you can see. New major sponsor. We'll get to both of those very soon. But I'll tell you right now, we have a massive show to kick off the season. Just before we get into it, or maybe like a recommendation for after this show, if it was one off-season pod, I recommend everybody goes back and listens to or watches. It's the 12 Commandments of Punting. After you've caught this show, the season preview, that is 60 minutes that I guarantee will make you a better bettor. Going back to last year, that was the seventh season of the pod. I did it on my lonesome, but we had a fantastic year of results. 62% best bets at $1.88 odds, 70% mixed matchups at $2.55 odds, profit over $3,500 for a $100 staker. The multis were up $800 for $50 staker. You go back the previous six seasons before this year, strong profit every single year, despite the fact I maintain it gets harder to beat the bookies every single year. And every year there's more people learning about what we do and they're doing it themselves and we're competing against them to beat the bookies too. I never come into a season promising any results like we've had in the past, but what I can promise it for myself and the man alongside me, we are going to give our very best. And why don't we get this man to introduce himself? Some of you should recognize him already for the part he played last year, but now he's on board full time. So give us an intro, Podonis.
Welcome, everyone. Great intro, Jacob. So you guys have seen me post in the group. I was part of the NFL season. I had a guest appearance with Maddie and the boys on Prop Me Up. Last season, I tipped the NRL full-time. I went 69-45, 61% on best bets. And the side bets with Jacob, I went 1-5. So that wasn't too crash hot for me. But Jacob's paid the transfer fee, and I'm here for the season on a full-time basis, looking after the weekly previews with Jacob. And should be great. And excited for the 2022 season. Hopefully we have a COVID-free season. One where we can get crowds and should be exciting. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, just able to squeeze you under the salary cap, mate. And like we go back to 2020, people remember Alex left. I can honestly say in my mind at that point in time, I was not thinking I got to replace Alex because you can't replace somebody like Alex. And actually several people did reach out to me after that. You were one of the people that did reach out to say you'd like to help in any way you can. And I told them all the same thing. If you want to share your knowledge, feel free to start in the group. Well, one guy actually did. This guy came along. He tipped every single week with reasoning. Some tips similar to the pod, some tips totally different. And in front of all our eyes, we had a 61% season. I've actually never seen that clip done by anybody outside of the pod before. We brought him onto the shows for cameos. You did the grand final preview with me. Then to back it up, you just went and gave us 20 weeks of NFL tips, 59%, which is arguably even harder. So that is what you guys call a full-time punting apprenticeship. Now this guy is ready for the big leagues, and I really believe he's going to add to the show, guys, to get a fresh perspective. So it's not one man talking for the whole episode every week, a fresh voice. There's a respect level there. I know what this guy brings to the table, but I'm still going to challenge him, and I want Matheos to challenge me as well. There's an extra filter for best bets, which I think can increase the quality of our bets. And honestly, I'll be honest, last year was hard in a lot of ways. A bit lonely, a bit of head noise when things weren't going well. Now I have someone to bounce back off. It's going to be more fun. So we're going to talk all 16 teams. We're not going to talk round one matchups. That's obviously next week where we start the weekly previews. Please share your thoughts and comments as we go. Some spoilers. You and I have a couple of different teams in our top eights, and we're going to have a side bet on that straight away. We each picked our favorite team out of the 16. If we had to bet a ladder position over or under or above and below on the ladder, we both picked the same team and the same direction out of the 16 teams with our completely independent handicapping. We've also got a bunch of teams we agree in the same direction. So we've come up with a couple of sweet value multis. Before we dive in, we've got our major sponsor back and back in a big way. You want to know, yes, mixed matchups are back this season. Probably most important. Podonis is going to help me cook these up each week. There's some new things that are exciting, but I'll just let you know about them as we roll through. But also the fearless leader of Top Sport, Tristan, is going to be here every week to share those valuable market insights. So here is Tristan with season futures market preview.
G'day Tripod family, we are back for another season. The NRL season is on our doorstep, so that's exciting to see. Looking forward to the footy starting in just over a week now. So good to have the Tripod and Jacob back for another year. We're looking forward to taking on the challenge of some more special bets. But looking at the season ahead and a little bit of a preview, the season's been very, very well supported early. So we've taken a lot of action early in the piece, a lot of premiership action. So Manly's been the best back team at our end, one bet of $10,000 at $8. We've also laid the Storm quite heavily as well, where they've been back from $6 into $5 as well. So all the usual suspects up the top. Penrith's been a bit soft in the market. They opened as favourites at $5. They're now out to $5.50, second on the line of betting. So we've got a stack of markets up. Season wins, regular season matchups. So if you like a team or you think a team's undervalued or overvalued, you can bet on any number of markets. So one that I actually like, I personally think the Tigers are being favourites for the Wooden Spoon. I struggle to see that they should be that far in advance of any or that far below anyone else in the ladder. So I look at a few of their markets. You can look at the ladder position. 13.5, you've got them to finish above or below 13.5 on the ladder. Regular season wins, they're 7.5, $2 to go over 7.5, where I think they're a good chance of doing that. A couple of teams where the punters have really been supporting the teams that have been perceived overvalued in the off-season. So Cronulla obviously got a big boom on them. They went really well in the trial there the other night, but a few punters are expecting that we've actually overrated their chances. We put the line up at 13.5 and the unders were smashed into $1.65, just back out to $1.70 now. So a stack of markets there to sink your teeth into. We've got the future special that will be coming up a bit later in the show as well. Obviously, Jacob got the money there last year at $15, so we'll be seeing if he can go back-to-back. He's obviously a very, very sharp judge on the footy. A couple of other things to chat about. We're actually the Titans' official wagering partner this year. Our office is just up the road from Cbus Super Stadium, so we've got some special, unique Titans markets up. We're looking forward to really supporting the local team over the course of the year, so it'll be good for punters that like a bit of value, because I'm sure we'll have some nice attractive odds about them throughout the course of the season. All right, well, enjoy the season. We're going to set some custom markets as well later on or in the next week. So feel free to put them onto the Facebook post when Jacob pops it up. I'll do my best to set as many and create as many of those markets as I can. Enjoy the season, and we'll, I'm sure, be chatting throughout the year.
Thank you, Tristan. Okay, let's jump into this, mate. So we're going to go in 2021 ladder order from first all the way to 16th. We're going to take turns introducing the teams. We're going to tell you guys the over-under ladder position market on Top Sports. So this is, well, we've got to make it clear, above and below. And it's as if you're looking at a ladder and one is at the top and 16 is at the bottom. So when we start with the Melbourne Storm, they're at 2.5. You can bet, will they finish higher? That's above or under 2.5, which would be third or worse. I know that can catch people out. It's always a tricky one because, of course, the lower you go, it's a higher number. But hopefully that makes sense. Above or below, as you would look at a ladder. So the Melbourne Storm, they won the minor premiership last year. As I said, over under 2.5 ladder position with money on the under. And their premiership odds, $5 to win the whole thing. Their major gains, again, I'm not going to list every single list change, but just the ones that I think move the needle. Major gain being Xavier Coates. Major losses, Addo Carr, Dale Finucane, and Nicho Hynes. Lead us off, Podonis. What do you make of the Melbourne Storm in 2022?
So when I look at the Melbourne Storm, they've finished in the top two in the past few seasons, and I don't see a reason why that can't happen again. They were the highest scoring team last year, around 33 points per game, and ordinarily I'd expect a touch of regression, but their spine did miss a ton of games, with Jerome Hughes the only one managing to play almost a full season. So when I look at these numbers, Grant 15 games, Pappenhausen 15 games, and Munster 20, that sort of leads me to think that they can match the production from last year, even though a lot of their tries were scored in poor ball territory or in their own end of the field. And there's a lot of negative perception this year around the uncertainty of Nelson, Kamakameka being stood down, as well as Hynes and Finucane leaving to the Sharks. But I'm not buying into that narrative that much. I think Storm are too professional as an outfit. They're disciplined. And it's pretty strange to say, considering they are such a public team. But I think I'm higher on the Storm than most. And I've actually got them winning the minor premiership.
Yeah, mate, I tend to agree with you. I've actually asked, we're both going to come up with our prediction from 1 to 16 as well for each team. So it's pretty hard. It's a fool's errand to pick all 16 teams with their exact ladder position, but to give you guys this clear indication of where we see them. And I had to put the Storm right at the top of the perch as well. I feel like this could be Bellamy's last season, and that feels really big. And it's the last season for a few. The Cheese is moving on. Bromwich Brothers, Kaufusi. Yes, they lost three rep players, but they are all covered in a way. Coates fit is a different player to Adokar, but covers him. You know, you missed a lot of games from Papenhuyzen last year, so that covers Nico Hines. And then for Nuke and Will, they're just going to slot the Cheese. He's going to play a lot more lock, and you're going to have a lot more of Hectic Cheese and Harry Grant on the field at the same time. So I feel like they cover what they lost. They were historically good last year. They were every bit as good as Penrith. Just things just didn't go their way in the prelim, to be honest. So I also can't see why they couldn't have a similar year to 2021. That's why I've got them first. Talk to us about Penrith, their gains and losses, and the market.
So Penrith, as we know, came second last year. Key outs. So they've lost Matt Burden. They've lost Kirk Cable to the Broncos and Momorowski to the Roosters. And there's sort of no key gains there. They've sort of focused on retaining talent and signing some of the players that they did have. They've got an over-under ladder position on Top Sport at 2.5, which is heavily weighted to the under because they're expected to come in the top two. And they are $5.50 or $5 second favourites to win the comp, depending on where you shop.
And in fact, they're weighted to the under. That's actually below 2.5. And they are probably the second favourite, but nobody is like a favourite to finish top two just because there are, as we're going to get to, there are several contenders. So I think if you want to bet Penrith top two, you're probably getting like $2.20 range. And if you want to bet them, you know, third or worse, you might get like $1.70, if memory serves correctly. A year ago, we did the season preview. I did pick Penrith to win it all last year. I thought they'd go one step better. Ultimately, they did. What a heroic effort. And speaking of that grand final, you heard afterwards how many of those players were playing busted. And Ivan said some of the guys shouldn't have even played in the grand final. So when I think about, can this team be any better this year? You could argue that if some of those guys that were playing completely banged up, if they were all fully healthy, then yeah, the team could be even better. I mean, Nathan Cleary opted to play on through that shoulder. Edwards, you know, was out there with a broken foot, and there were several others. So they could be better. I also think they are naturally better with that spine, all progressing. Luai, Cleary, Coruscant, Edwards, another season, and all those players are getting better as well. Now, the Origin period rocked that club last year, nearly derailed their season, hit them with injuries and a bit of a form slump. That is going to be the case again this year. And then on top of that, they did lose a couple of Origin caliber players as well. So that's, you know, maybe going to hurt them in the win column for a couple of games. Last season, they set the league on fire in attack. They were amazing to watch and they were unstoppable. By the end of the year, with a little bit of disjointed key positional play and guys in and out of the team, they won the comp on their defense. You look at the final three games that they won, only conceding one try in each of them. That was an incredible amount of defensive intensity. I don't think you can replicate that all the way through a regular season. So I can kind of see them just prioritizing being healthy in September and maybe losing a game or two due to attrition, even though they're as good as anybody in the competition. That's my only reason why I've predicted them fourth. Any response to that? Otherwise, I'll lead us into the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
So quickly, I had a few of the same key points as yourself. One of the reservations that I sort of had, if someone was looking to bet on them to win the minor premiership or win the comp now, given that they did win the comp, going the long way, losing that first week of the finals, I think that's going to give them confidence to know that they could do that again. And given the Origin period is such a grueling tax on their side, that they might just do enough just to get into the top four, and that might be enough for Ivan Cleary and the team to work with. So that would be my one hesitation. I think Penrith will still be in the top four for sure. I had them second, but I can definitely see your points coming forth there.
So South Sydney were third last year in the regular season. As we know, they made the grand final. Right now, they're set at above or below 4.5 ladder position. So basically 50-50 if you think they're going to make top four. Their premiership odds are $8. Major gains, not much. I mean, I put Milford, but he probably doesn't even start for this team. Major losses, significant. Adam Reynolds, Dane Gagai, Sua, and Benji Marshall retired. What do you make of the Bunnies?
I actually think Milford's actually maybe stood down or like relieved of his contract because of all that assault stuff. So that might become an issue throughout the season. So I'm happy to discard him as a player. So as you touched on there, the two big signings or two big losses, Gagai and Reynolds, they're big holes that haven't been filled. So that's one thing that we'll just say off the bat. So from the limited film that we have seen of Lachlan Elias, he looks like he's got plenty of potential, but that's like the key word, potential. He's still a kid. He's played one game. He needs to prove it. He is stacked with the team around him to do that. They've still got an elite forward pack, so that'll keep him on the front foot in most games. And game breakers like Latrell Mitchell and Cody Walker, they stay off the suspension list and injury, then that South should still be strong. I think that they'll slightly regress. Obviously, the other key loss that we need to touch on is Wayne Bennett leaving. What sort of impact will that have on the side? From all reports, Dimitri was the one who was doing all the coaching anyway, and Bennett was sort of like a mentor role. So whether or not that has any effect on the playing style is yet to be seen. But the biggest factor for me is that South have a pretty easy draw, and that sort of leads me to think that that'll keep him in the top four. So they play five of last season's bottom six twice. So that will sort of help them to just accrue wins throughout the season and get ready for finals. So I've got them ranked to number fourth. What about you, Jacob? How are the Cardinal
So I had them third. So on the same page. So look, last year for the Bunnies, that was an achievement. I know like when you fall short, it's bitterly disappointing, but they had lost three straight prelims. They had to make a grand final with that group, and they did. And boy, they came close to winning it. You know, I actually rewatched the grand final just a few days ago, and it hurt me to watch. I gave out 10-1, Panthers halftime, Rabbitohs full-time. I was on that myself. It was 8-6 at halftime to Penrith, perfectly poised for the Bunnies to win it in the second half. But that intercept try and a sideline conversion that wasn't to be, we know how last season finished up. So you look at it now, and I think you're right as well, the loss of Bennett. But if there was ever, a transition of a new coach that could be, you know, smooth as possible, Dimitrio's been Bennett's protege and been there the whole time as well. I look at the key position being halfback. I think that's everything. I think, you know, there'll be a drop-off with the leadership, the direction, the kicking, playmaking, huge shoes to fill. But what a spine Ilias gets to fit into when you get Latrell Mitchell, Cody Walker and Damian Cook, superstars around him. So if he can play well, then this team is going to be really strong because the forward pack still has game breakers, as they do in the outside backs as well. That's why I'm quite high on Souths, and I don't see a huge drop-off, and I do think they can cover the losses, Reynolds being that biggest question mark that I'll be watching closely, but I am a believer. So yeah, I'm with you on the Bunnies top four again. Now, before we move to the Manly Seagulls, look, I hope you guys are enjoying the show so far. You might be sitting there going, how many games at NRL did these two dweebs play? And in fact, I want you to know that on the show tonight, between us, all of us that are bringing you the info, we actually have over 300 games of NRL experience. And that's thanks to our second major sponsor we announced today. That's Dabble. I'm going to want to tell you all about these guys throughout the show and what that's going to bring to the table for pod followers. But first, let's just have a segment here. Robbie Farah with his thoughts on the contenders as we are talking about a few of the contenders.
Hey guys, Robbie Farah here. I just wanted to share a few thoughts on the upcoming NRL season 2022. Obviously, footy's just around the corner. Next week, we kick off round one. Massive game, Penrith and Manly to kick off the season, who are going to be two of the premiership favourites, in my opinion, heading into this year. Obviously, the Panthers coming off the back of the premiership last year. The Hunters have become the hunted. There's going to be everyone coming out after them, but I think they've got the quality to be up there or thereabouts again this year. Manly for me as well. When you've got a player like Tommy Turbo on your side, you're always a chance of winning footy games. And you know, they've got the experience in the halves with DCE, Kieran Foran, and then Tommy Turbo at the back. I think they're going to be really hard to beat. They're my pick for the Premiers in 2022. I think the Roosters as well, everyone knows the injury problems they went through last year, but they still had an amazing season. I think the Roosters are a club that are always there or thereabouts. They're going to be a tough team to beat again this year, the Roosters. When you speak about the Rabbitohs, massive year for the Rabbitohs last year, going down in the grand final. The question is going to be how they cope with losing Adam Reynolds, obviously one of the great halfbacks of the competition, a massive signing for the Broncos. but a huge loss for the Rabbitohs this year. Young halfback in Lachlan Ilias coming into the side. So, you know, how they cope with his loss is going to go a long way to determining how they will go this year. If you like having a punt on the footy, jump on Dabble, have a banter with your mates, you know, copy some bets, get on there and have a play around on the app. It's a great app to have a bet on. Follow your footy on there, and I'll keep giving updates during the year. Cheers, guys.
How good's that? Rubbing shoulders with Robbie Farah. You can follow him on the Dabble app. You can follow me, Winnie. You can follow the Podonis. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But the team that he's picking for the premiership, the Manly Seagulls, why don't we talk about them next, mate? Set the table for us.
Very good. So Manly Seagulls, fourth last year, as we know, snuck into that fourth spot on the back of a phenomenal second half of the season. Curtis Sirinen is a key out, as is Moses Suli. And there's not really any notable signings, with the exception probably Ethan Bullimore as a depth middle edge forward. So they're over under ladder position. He's set at 4.5. So very similar to South. You get around 50-50 odds to make the top four. And their premiership odds are $10 at the moment. What do you think about the boys from the Northern Beaches?
Yeah, I think what you said there about the losses, they lose a little bit of depth, but not one player that you mentioned there. And I think Cade Cast, Gajetski amongst it as well. None of these guys are starters. And when you consider, obviously, you got to talk about Tom Trbojevic, as Robbie did there. You know, can he play any better this year? I struggle to see that he could, because he was superhuman last year. But there is one area where they can get more improvement, and that is more games, because he didn't play the first four or five games. So, I mean, imagine if they get a full slate of games out of Tommy T, then that's scary, and that is going to translate to a lot of wins. Elsewhere, it feels like this team is ready to win now. Like, if they're going to win a title with this list, why not this year? Because you look at the young stars, you know, your Saabs, your Garrick, your obviously Turbo, Schuster, Olakatu, Paseka. I don't think these guys need more time. I think they're good enough. And you look at your DCs, your Gerbo, your Foran, they're at the back end of their prime. It's time for them to get to the summit now, because you can't count on how many more great seasons they're going to have left. So I think this team knows that and has a sense at the moment and will give it a real shake. You know, to pick holes, I mentioned depth. Croker at hooker still feels like a bit of a limitation. What's this team's ceiling in your eyes?
Look, this team could probably win the comp. I had exactly the same points as you there. Tommy Turbo had a perfect season. How hard is it to replicate? Lightning normally doesn't strike twice. And we know Turbo's injury history last season was almost flawless after he came back. So, like, are we really counting on him to, like, play the entire season, especially with, like, an origin tax on his legs? And, look, number nine is a big downfall for me. They haven't, like, filled that void and given, a gun there in the spine. So, Foran's a little bit older now. As you said, this is probably one of Evan's last runs he can have at a title. Look, they'll be fighting for that top four spot. I see them edging it, just losing to South in that battle, but they'll definitely be up there and can definitely win the comp. But I just had them just slightly below in fifth.
Yeah, in fact, I had them sixth, which I think will be a little lower than what most people do there. But that's just because I just couldn't find it really much to poke holes in any of these other contenders. And that continues with the Sydney Roosters. And this is no secret. Everyone knows the Roosters are going to be really strong this year. They were fifth last year, despite a lot of stuff going wrong. Now their over under ladder position is 3.5. So 50-50 whether they finish top three. Premiership odds $6. They gain Momorowski, Nguama from Super League, and Connor Watson returns to the club. Now the losses are scary. Boyd Cordner, Jake Friend, Isaac Liu, and both Morris brothers. But you did have these massive losses kind of through 2021, so they're not going to feel the pinch of losing them all, because these other players that they unearthed that, you know, we're going to speak about helped fill that void. But I'll throw to you first, actually, in what's your read of the Roosters for this season?
So exactly what you said, and Robbie Farah said the same thing. Like, everyone in the world knows that they were decimated by injuries, and they're going to be better this year. So, yes, the Roosters are going to be very good. But when we're trying to assess value, how much can you sort of place in their line at the moment, and do they represent any venue. I think it's hard to sort of to justify betting on them. And I've sort of indicated now the reasons why I probably wouldn't. So, yes, they're going to be a genuine threat. But some of the question marks for me is, one, Sam Walker. Don't forget, he was like out of favor towards the back end of the season, whether they want to admit it or not. He was starting a lot of games on the bench. They've got three centers now in Suwali, Manu, and Momorowski that they have to fit into two positions. So someone has to play wing. And then don't forget, Hargraves is also another year older, 33. He lost his partner in Isaac Liu for that forward depth. So not sure how that rotation is going to go, especially with Collins coming back from an ACL. And then arguably they have the hardest draw in the comp, but they play every single one of last year's top five twice. So that is going to impact their season. So yes, they can be up there. Origin's going to affect them as well. They can definitely win the comp. But when you're looking at a season line or an over-under, I think it's hard to justify betting on them now. But in saying that, I've got them third.
Yeah, I mean, you're still predicting that they're going to come third and they're over-under 3.5. And that's with you finding flaws. And to me, Walker wasn't out of favor, but they were trying to protect him. I mean, he's almost the same size as you or I, and he's out there getting bashed by these absolute specimens and monsters that play in the NRL. So I think they did quite well because they didn't want to throw him in the deep end. They had to with the injury of Keary, but now that's a win because now you get to pair Keary and Walker together. You guys who watched the pod last year know how highly I think of Joey Manu, and I think he'd be a superstar fullback at a lot of other clubs. At this club, I think he can start at center, and so he was absolutely killing it last year until he met Latrell Mitchell's shoulder, or his cheek did, but he's going to be back. Suwali naturally will improve. They're saying he's even bigger and stronger. I think Watson was a really shrewd addition. I think his style of play and his utility value is so important, especially in the modern style of play. You've got Robinson, got to mention him because he's as good as any coach in the game, and believe just yesterday signed a massive extension to like 2028. And what about like this team won the comp in 2018. They won the comp in 2019. They suffered brutal injuries in 2020 and 2021. Had they not suffered the injuries the last two seasons, they would have been in the mix for the last two comps as well. So my biggest issue with the Roosters is actually just what you touched on, is everyone is seeing this coming. So it doesn't mean we can find value. But, you know, still having said that, that's the team that was fifth last year. I've got them certainly top five. In fact, I've got them coming second. So I think they're going to have a really strong year. But it's funny, that top five, Melbourne, Penrith, South Sydney, Manly, and the Roosters, I think 90%, maybe 95% of people are all going to expect that same top five this year. It's never usually that simple. But I do remember last year, everyone had the same top six, and five of those six did make the top six. And the one surprise was the Raiders dropped off a bit, and Manly actually ascended. So sometimes maybe it is as easy as it looks on paper. I'm not brave enough to push any of those five out. But why don't we move to number six last year, and whose turn is it? It must be your turn to let us know the deal with the Parramatta Eels.
That's it. Parramatta Eels finished sixth last year. And as we all know, it's a well-documented fall from grace in the last 2 months. So key out, Blake Ferguson has retired and they've replaced him with Bailey Simonson from Canberra on the wing there. And their over-under is set at 6.5 on their ladder position, which is roughly around a 50-50 bet. And their premiership odds, similar to Manly's actually, it's around $12.
And my biggest issue for Para is really just how much I like the other five teams. That's their biggest problem because I actually think they're a really strong side. And my initial instinct was it could be a down year for Para. But then the more, I don't know about you, but the more I dived into it, I started to really change my mind. I don't think that's the case. I actually still think this Parramatta team is going to be really strong this year. Now, I will put my hands up and say maybe I have a bit of a natural Parramatta bias because I've come into the last couple of years really high on them. I know last year I said they're going to make top four and they looked like they were all year until they kind of had that tailspin late in the year. And if the season had ended with that bad run of form, we'd all be questioning, you know, what's in the future for Parramatta. We'd be questioning Brad Arthur's job. But let's not forget how they ended the season. Like that was no joke, stopping the Storm's record win streak and pushing Penrith as hard as anybody push them to the absolute wire in the second round of the finals as well. And of course, Penrith goes on, wins the competition. You get all your key position players back. You're in that sweet spot. If you look at the Parramatta list, they don't have that many Origin players. While they have a lot of good players, they got like kind of guys that are probably not going to play Origin, could really help them. Forward pack is both strong and skillful. I also wish they didn't thump Penrith 36-0 in the trial the other day, because I want this team under the radar, because I think few people will be quick to write them off, and I won't be one of them. I have them finishing fifth. I have them finishing higher on the ladder than Manly. How about yourself?
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. Scary again. We had very similar notes again. So the key takeaway for me for the Eels is that the way that they did finish last year, that'll sort of going to give them a new sense of energy and rejuvenate the squad that they can have another premiership push. I think the players will know that this is sort of their premiership window is closing. So a whole bunch of guys are leaving next year, like Reed Marnie, Papali'i, Nakore, and maybe a few others. So I think they know that this is sort of the last go that they can have with this current roster. And it's still one of the best spines in the competition. As you said, elite forward pack. And yes, they have a tough draw, but the Origin period, not having many players impacted by it, is going to definitely hold them in good stead. I have them just below Manly and South and the likes of those teams, because I think that they're missing like a game breaker still in the outside backs. And whether or not they can cover Mike Acebo's loss for half a season, not quite sure. So I had them in sixth, but fully fit, they could definitely make a dent in finals.
And we're going to use that. In fact, I'm going to surprise you here, because we've teed up another sweet preseason multi. We mentioned Dabble before. We got some thoughts from Robbie Farah. And I mentioned that, you know, these guys are going to come on board. They're going to make the pod possible for you and I to bring to everybody this year, along with Top Sport. And guys, you know that I am really selective, and I can tell you that. And I really don't do it unless I think there's a benefit to people who follow. And I think people know that anyone that got introduced to Top Sport, for example, last year, is very glad they did. And it's the same case with Dabble. Give them a go, especially once you hear about some of the features. Now, I'll announce some sad news today that the Tripod app is just not something that I can continue running. And boy, I tried my hardest, as did Alex. We put everything into that, time and a lot of money as well. But it's just not something that's feasible. And you've got a company like Dabble, who I've actually known some of the co-founders for years, and they had this concept that's been building for a long time. And Dabble started operating as a bookie last year. When I spoke to these guys, I said, I think you got a hell of an idea, but it sounds really similar to the Tripod app. So one door shuts, that's the Tripod app. Another opens, try out the Dabble app. Features include following individual tipsters like you did on the Tripod app. I'm on there. Podonis is on there. Undertaker, Dane with rugby tips, Ben Willey with cricket and footy. A lot of the guys that you know and love from the Tripod community, you can copy someone's bet. So if you like their tip, you can copy it straight into your bet slip and have a punt. People write their description. You can sign up for notifications when your favorite tipster tips. It's instantly in your feed. And we've got an exclusive group chat. Think of it like a Tripod live group chat that you and I and a bunch of the other boys are going to be in. So give it a crack. Another reason why you might want to, and there's plenty of others that I can't even mention, but give it a crack. Join up to Dabble with the code Tripod and check out this multi, having a little dabble with a season futures multi. Okay, we're going Storm to finish top four. That's paying about $1.65 in most places. Okay, and we've both got them finishing first. We've got the Roosters to finish top four. That's paying about $1.75 in most places. I've got them second. You've got them third. We've got the Rabbitohs to finish top eight. That's $1.25. That's close to a lock. We've both got them top four, but we're getting that buffer. We're saying Rabbitohs top eight. And the side we just spoke about, the Parramatta Eels, which I've got in fifth, you've got in sixth. I think we've got them in the top eight, and that's paying about your $1.60 as well. So what would you want for those four to all occur? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, let's just throw a number out, $5.50.
That's pretty close if you multiply those four odds. In fact, this is $8 odds. So jump on. You will not find a better price than that out there. $8 on Dabble, and they are going to guarantee that price for 24 hours. So from now, Wednesday night. So jump on, have a crack at that. If you like the sound of that multi, Storm and Roosters making the four, Rabbitohs and Eels both making the eight as well. $8 odds. After 24 hours, it's a liability limit. They're going to see how many people have actually smashed it and how much people have had on it, and then they can't guarantee what that price is going to remain at. So have a crack at that if you like it. Let's continue on. This is a team that we probably, spoiler alert, probably won't have in the top eight, but they were last year. Newcastle Knights. It's my turn probably to let you guys know that the over-under for them is 10.5. So they are expected to finish outside the eight in terms of ladder position, that is. $31 to win the premiership. They've gained Dane Gagai returning and Clune in the halves, but they lose Mitchell Pearce and Connor Watson. What do you make of Newcastle?
Biggest question mark for me is the Knights half. So you touched on there, the loss of Pearce. Clifford and Clune as a combo, I've sort of ranked them as like the worst pairing in the NRL if I looked at the halves individually. And when you factor in the season ending loss to Brayley as well, the spine to me seems very weak. And I struggle to see how they're going to create any opportunities like outside of Kalen Ponga doing stuff by himself. Interesting stat that I saw that I'd like to get your take on, Winnie. Last year's Knights team made the finals, had the worst attack and defense metrics since Canberra 2002 to make the finals. And that was when the Dogs got stripped of all their points for the salary cap breach. That's why Canberra made it. So it goes to show you how bad of a year the Knights did have and make the eight. And I can only see them going backwards from there. But the problem is everyone else does too. So you're getting $1.45 to miss the eight when everyone's expecting it. And going through their roster, I was a bit surprised to see like how solid their forward pack is. And their outside backs are still pretty decent with some game breakers. So those are two factors that would probably like keep me off betting on the Knights to miss the eight or betting on the Knights like over their ladder position, because when I compare that to a few of the other teams around them, those other positions are slightly better. But look, if it starts to go wrong for the Knights, then I can definitely see a season where it snowballs and the rumours circulate about Ponga, they chop and change halves, and then all of a sudden they're in the bottom four. So I've got them ranked at 11th, but interesting to see where you see them.
Well, I agree with everything you said, and I really think the man you mentioned there, Ponga, as well as the speculation about his future, he is just under so much pressure now. Like, all the attack has to run through him, and opposition defences are going to key in on him and make a life very difficult for him. Plus, he's got a little bit of soft tissue injuries in his recent history as well. So it's going to be vital for them that he's on the park, but when he is on the park, it's an incredible amount of pressure. And speaking of that pressure, you know, like just another little thing that I picked up last year after quite a few bad performances, and last year was a good year to sneak into the eight with a below average season because it was top heavy and teams with losing records got in. But O'Brien, I didn't like the signs, comes in as a coach with a great pedigree coming out of the two best systems you can, came across to me as a bit of an excuse maker after bad performances. So I can kind of see that all playing in that if results aren't there, he's actually going to be under pressure. I got him even lower than you. I got him 12th. Talk us through the other side that made the eight with a losing record last year, Gold Coast Titans.
Gold Coast Titans. And funnily enough, that was one of the teams that I tipped in the custom markets that Tristan spoke about earlier, under 12.5 wins, but to make the eight. So that was a nice little $11 surprise.
What did that pay? $11.
That was
a ripper.
It was, yes. So I know Topsport are going to want the Titans to make the eight because of the sponsorship dollars. But if
they are going to want the Titans to make the eight, but they're offering very attractive and probably best in the market prices on the Titans. You can bet them top four, top six, top eight. Sorry to interrupt you, but if anyone likes the Titans, because they're associated, they're going really strong on positive results for the Titans. So you won't find better odds, I think, for a positive season on the Titans than with the Toppy. Worth a look if you like it, but I'm interested to hear if you do. So, yeah, talk us through their ins and outs this year.
Yeah, so they've lost Taylor. They've lost Fogarty. They've sent him to Canberra. And Tyron Peachy has also lost. And Keane, so they're getting Will Smith as an interchange from Parramatta and Isaac Liu from the Roosters. So as you touched on there, their over-under position is 8.5. So you're getting $2.10 for them to make the top eight, which is best in the market if you're a Titans fan. So what about you, Jacob? How do you see their season faring out?
Yeah, and $26 to win the comp if you're really optimistic. Look, last year, solid achievement to make the eight, but again, they won 10 of 24 games. So what you need to take away from that is they're going to have to be even better this year to finish in the same position. And the Fogarty departure, to me, I'm going to wait and see. You know, the way I read that situation was the Titans were quite comfortable handing the keys to Toby Sexton, therefore believing in the ability that he has. And so it may not be a drop-off, but you look at the Titans and their strength is this quality pack, and then you've really got to capitalize when that pack builds momentum, and the halfback is key, and there's some exciting talent outside him that he's got to get the ball in the hands of AJ Brimson, who I can't wait to see play 5/8 full-time. Jaden Campbell got blooded last year. He's really talented, and he'll get the job at fullback. So it comes back down to how well Sexton can link up with everybody. You know, again, I look at hooker and say Clark is serviceable, but maybe not elite. And if this club could really be improved with an elite hooker, but they haven't been able to pick one up in free agency or find one as of yet. But yeah, you look at that pack, adding Liu is massive, and he's a bit of he's got a bit of leadership. But the three Fs, Fotuaker, Fifita, and Fasua Malawe, who actually was just recently named captain, they could all conceivably be even better because they are all still so young. And young is the word that comes to mind to me for this squad. The whole squad does look quite youthful. I get the feeling that they can run over teams when they get momentum, but will that youth and maybe slight lack of experience in key positions have them falling short when they play a lot of the top sides? I have them on the fringe of the eight. And in fact, when I kind of washed, when it came out in the wash with all these teams, I did put them in eighth. What about you?
Similar line of thinking, but then I've also thought of it this way in regards to the Fogarty replacement. Bringing in Sexton, to me, tells me that the Titans are looking to the future and they don't really think about winning now. So I think they're looking to 2023 and beyond. And bringing in Tino as the captain is testament to that. He's only 22 years old. And let's not forget as well, they've brought in Campbell at fullback. They've moved Brimson. So they're going to experiment, go with a new spine. It is going to take time to gel. They are exciting. They're going to have flashy highlight plays for sure. But are they going to experience some growing pains in the grind of the NRL season? I think yes. They were a huge beneficiary also last year of the relocation to Queensland with COVID. So now with more travel, that could probably affect them as well this year. I think the Titans will slightly drop off because I think they are still in a rebuild and they're looking forward. So I've got them finishing 10th, but they'll definitely be in that 7 to 11 range fighting for a top 8 spot.
You make some good points there. You actually got me questioning myself there. So I got the Titans 8th. I've got them ahead of this next team, but you're probably going to make a compelling case that I'm wrong there. And I think a lot of others will agree because we talk about these trendy teams, like everyone's high on the Roosters this year. Everyone thinks the Knights will regress. And a lot of people think this next side, the Cronulla Sharks, are going to have a big year. 9th last year, just missing the 8 on points differential. Their over-under ladder position is 8.5. So they're right at that 50-50 mark, whether you like them to make or miss. You get around 50-50 odds. $18 to win the comp. So, you know, even though roughly predicted around the same spot on the ladder as the Titans, they've got a higher ceiling according to the marketplace, probably due to the new additions, Nico Hines, Dal Finucane, Cam McInnes. They do lose Sean Johnson, Townsend, Woods, and Dugan Chambers for what those guys contributed last year. But why don't you tell us what you make of them for 2022?
Yeah, so very interesting side for me, the Sharks. Like, as you said, a lot of people are high on them because of their off-season recruiting. But to me, like, their halves play wasn't the problem last year. And we saw Johnson was their best performer every time he did step out onto the field. So I'd argue that the Sharks' biggest problem was that lacking X factor and then, like, couldn't keep people on the field. So they haven't sort of filled that gap. Sure, Hines was great in Melbourne. He was a running fullback, but now he's been thrown into a lead playmaking role. So how much better can the Sharks be given he hasn't done that before? I question that. Despite all the off-field and on-field turmoil that they experienced and losing Morris, like, the side is pretty resilient still. And they did play tough and they nearly made the finals and they could have in that last week, but they fell short. So the culture is still strong there. So even though Fitzgibbon's got a big job ahead of him, like, that's one aspect that he probably doesn't have to fix. It is a good bunch of guys there. So I think they'll be in that 7 to 11 range. And they are a popular pick, as you said. So I don't know how much value there is in, like, taking them to make the 8 when there could be a few other teams that might steal that spot. I've got them in 8th, given that they can experience some natural improvement with the new additions. And then also a small edge is returning to Shark Park this year, which might help them in a few of those close games, which does provide some sort of benefit. What about you, Jacob?
Yeah, I think that they may start the season slow. So on your point there, whether there's value backing them to make the eight, when you do bring in a new coach and you bring in new key position players and a couple of these guys like McInnes are not going to be ready to start the season, you know, I don't know if they're going to come out gangbusters because I think they're going to want to build. But you're right. You said the word their culture. Like they already were resilient and gritty team. And the characters that you bring in, Finucane just wins. And McInnes, when he is on the park, is tough as nails. Hines, you know, high character. Fitzgibbon, everything you know and you hear about him, you think that that's going to be an extremely good culture there. And they are going to have success. But is it going to come straight away? You know, the keys to me is the halfback position. I think you said it there. So I think Trindle gets that first opportunity. Does he own it? How do they play Matty Moylan? Because to me, Hines is such a natural six, but he is not a lead half. So how much are they going to expect him to do? And the other key question mark I have is Wade Graham. Like, if he's there and if he can play a full season, that's huge. In fact, he did have that ankle injury just a couple of days ago in the trial. But my bigger concern was all the repeated head knocks he has sustained. That is a real worry. So all in all, I don't kind of have the Sharks as top six, where some people are going as far as to say that. Maybe by the end of the year, they could be playing at that level. So I definitely had him fringe eight. When push came to shove, I put him ninth. I thought I'd be a little bit dangerous with it. You made a pretty good case against the Titans. You could easily flip those two. Maybe I wish I did because you and I are going to bet each other on who has a more correct top eight. And I've got the Sharks out. You've got the Sharks in. The other team that I have in the eight, I'll let you introduce right now.
All right. The Instagram team from last year. The Canberra Raiders finished 10th. They lose Williams, Soliola, and Havili. Key ins are the returning son, Nick Kotrick. They get Jamal Fogarty, and they sign Adam Elliott, who was released from the Bulldogs. So their over-under ladder position is 8.5, and they are $21 for the premiership. So why don't you tell us why you think they'll make the eight?
I definitely know I'm higher than most, but I do think straight away Fogarty is an upgrade because of what we know about what was happening behind the scenes. And Williams just wanted out of there. He was disgruntled. He was butting heads with the coach. Yeah, I think that that's instantly an upgrade there. And I think that Fogarty's respected. And you know, this guy was captain at the Titans. So I think that's a boost. You've still got Jack Whiten. He's a superstar. And I think those two can play well together. Nicol Klukstad didn't play a lot of games last year and didn't seem quite himself coming off the back injury last year. But he's still a really quality player. And then you got the opportunity to unearth Savage, who to me looks really special. And this guy's absolutely rapid. So I'm really excited to see a way that they can fit both on the field, probably Savage at fullback and maybe Klukstad in the centers. I think Chotrich, as I believe we pronounce it now, is can come back and find that form that, you know, got him into Origin. He's still young enough. And he's going to fit right back in there with his previous coach and with his previous teammates. I like the dynamic of the 1-2 punch at hooker with Hodgson and Starling, two totally different players. And also when I look back at last year, they only missed the top eight on points differential again. They blew more leads than anybody. They lost a bunch of games where they had a double-digit lead. And I always think someone will argue that that's in their DNA. That's what they do is choke on games. But I will argue that that's something that you can remedy as well. And if you don't throw away as many of them, then you're going to find an improvement in the standings. Now, another valid concern, which I'll be interested in what you make of this, like, is Ricky the kind of guy that wears players out? And do they stop hearing all his message? I think that's possible. So I think this team could have implosion potential. If it's going badly, it could go worse. But because I believe they can make the top eight and be certainly in the mix all season long, I don't think that they're going to implode. And I have them higher than the Titans, higher than the Sharks. I have them seventh.
Seventh. So look, I definitely agree with you. They'll be fighting for the top eight in that 7-11 range. And I do agree as well, people are a little bit sleepy on them given the year they had last year. As you said, strong pack. Good depth in the outside backs now with Klokstad, Croker, Chris, Tomoko, Valamai, and they'll be one of the teams that will be pushing. The one reservation I do have is that it's the same core group of players that were sort of in the premiership window 3 years ago. So it sort of feels to me that Canberra might need a bit of a refresh and an update in that core group of players. So that's probably the only factor that I've sort of dropped them. I've got to be ninth, but that's not to say they can't make the eight, but that's sort of, I still see Sharks having a higher upside slightly.
And then 11th last year, and maybe could have been higher if not for an ill-fated barbecue, but that was the St. George Illawarra Dragons. So their over-under for ladder position above and below is 12.5, $41 to win the comp. They have lost Dufty, Corey Norman, Paul Vaughan late last year. Adam Clune is gone, but they bring in Jaden Suar, Burgess, Mbai, Sully and Woods. What do you think?
A bit of excitement around the Dragons, but I think people are sort of forgetting that they are in a full rebuild. Sloan's at the back, Junior Amone's partnering Ben Hunt in the halves. Like, they're promising youngsters for the future, sure. But will they have the consistency to win games in the NRL on a week-to-week basis? They'll have exciting plays and highlights, and they might win some games, but I also see a drop-off in, like, McCulloch's production. He played too good last year for his age and where he is in his career. He'll sort of probably return to the form he had at Brisbane before he left. And also think that the weakest part of their team is the front row rotation, which is probably the poorest in the NRL, with Woods, Laurie Molo, George Burgess. So the Dragons, to me, feel like a team like the Broncos from 2 years ago, with a young squad that could be exciting for the future, and they have a mismanaged cap, and they've also got average coaching. So that's how I see St. George. So I think they'll finish in the bottom four. I've got them 13th. And interesting to see if you disagree.
Is 13th in the bottom four? Do the math. 14, 15, 16. Just squeezes in there. Bottom four. I have them exactly the same. 13th. Well, maybe they remind you the Broncos because it's an old Broncos coach and he's brought a few former Broncos down. So there's former Bronco vibes here. But you're right about that kind of transitional period. They don't need to make the eight this year. They just need to develop and get game time into these young fellas. You mentioned Sloan, Amone, Sullivan as well. You know what? The fact that they actually got to blood all these guys last year, I think is a huge advantage, that they're not just going in totally cold this year. They got their feet wet. And now they get to really establish themselves. In particular, I look at Junior Amone as the potential to be a real star. But is he already? Because I look at the Dragons and I don't really see guys that necessarily are match winners, are origin caliber players that are going to take the game by the scruff of the neck. Now, if there is one guy, maybe Zach Lomax, the man with the out the back of the right hand flick pass that you know is coming, but it gets you with it every time nonetheless. Funny I mentioned, like, who's going to step up in this team, where the origin caliber players. I was looking at their lineup, 7 to 13 have all played origin, but you can make a case that none of them would play origin this year. Now, like, maybe Benny Hunt certainly can, but depending on what direction Queensland goes with utility. But it's all kind of guys that have had a cup of coffee or for whatever reason, whether it's Jack Birds or DeBellins or Molo, or Maguire, like guys that are not necessarily stars, but if they are going to want to win a bunch of games and especially be able to pull out some of the close games, that's going to be the key, is which forwards can step up, because most of these games, they're not going to wow or blow anyone away with their talent. So they're going to have to win it with toughness and off the back of their forward pack. And then kind of how good can that combination that you mentioned, Macca and Hunt, can they play when the game's on the line? Because that's ultimately going to decide how many wins they end up with. But as you say, it's not really all about making the eight this year. It is a transitional roster. And for that reason, I have them a few spots outside the eight.
So the Warriors are going to start the season in Redcliffe and use that as their base. So they finished 12th last year. The key outs are Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, as we all know. He went to Union. They lost Armour. Malmalo went to the Tigers the back end of the season last year. And they lose Peter Hicku. And they get returning son Sean Johnson, Ash Taylor, and Dallin Mutenzo-Lesniak, who was there towards the back end of the year as well. So Top Sport's over-under position for them at the moment is 12.5. And then their premiership odds for the Warriors are currently sitting at $41.
I've got them just doing a little bit better than the Dragons this year. So I had them 11th. Now, RTS. That is a monumental loss. If you've listened to the pod for any number of years, you know how big of a fan I am. But kind of already lost Roger last year. As soon as Walsh, and you didn't mention Walsh as a gain because they gained Walsh last year, but you know, now he gets the full preseason. As soon as he came last year, Roger stepped aside, played a little bit of wing, played some center. He then went home early as well. They gave him that compassionate release. So in a way, you have kind of moved on a little bit from Roger, and you're very lucky to have a young star like Reece Walsh. If he can put it together, you know, it may not be a drop, that much of a drop-off, just because he still can be a superstar and can be a great game breaker at fullback. And a few of these other guys that they lost last year as well, they also lost kind of throughout the year. So maybe it doesn't hurt them as badly. And I think the prodigal son, Sean Johnson, returning could be, I'll go as far as to say, could be the pickup of the year. Like, didn't know why Brisbane wasn't trying to stiff around Sean Johnson. Like, if I have to make a prediction, everyone's talking about what a big difference Adam Reynolds will make. I think Sean Johnson can have a better season than Adam Reynolds. So that's how big I think he's going to be then. Now he's going back to New Zealand more mature. How they solve the puzzle in the halves with who partners him when you have Nick Karima, Harris DeVita, and Ash Taylor, that's going to be the key that they're going to have to solve. In the forward pack, there's some talent. We saw the emergence of Josh Curran. Aitken transitioned to the back row and did really well. I thought Lodge was a good pickup mid-season for a bargain. Fanua Blake's been there for 1 year now. Brownie is another question mark to me. Can he get the best out of the squad depth as well? If they do cop a couple of key injuries, that does hurt. And of course, away from home yet again for the foreseeable future. But maybe the town of Redcliffe will have a bit of a buzz. Maybe that town can kind of adopt them because they know they're going to have their own team from next year. So the Warriors always find it so hard to predict. I think they can make the eight, but I just couldn't quite squeeze them in ahead of some of the others that we've already mentioned. So as I say, I put them 11th. Where have you got them?
I have them exactly 11th as well. I think they're a little bit underrated like yourself coming to the season. And you touched on moving to Redcliffe there, but the NRL did confirm that they're going to get 5 home games in Auckland starting from mid-July. So that could be used as a bit of a, like a motivational factor to get them through the early part of the season to know that they can go home after 1,000 days and play in front of their fans. They got a top 8 pack, like you said, but the halves to me didn't stand out as the problem. So they signed Johnson, great. Ash Taylor, sort of question that signing. Now you've got to fit 4 players into 2 and use up your cap space there, and there's sort of light on the outside backs and a game breaker out there still. Will they improve and exceed expectation? Yes. But any side with Nathan Brown, in my opinion, is still going to be limited. So that's why I sort of had him at 11th. Close to a top 8 bet. If you like him, you can get him at $4 on TopSport. But other than that, I think we roll straight into team number 13.
Now, I'll query something you said there. And again, guys, let us know your comments. So about that being able to go home from July, I had heard that originally. Then I had heard because of the way the draw is and because of the quarantine rules, it actually wouldn't be feasible. And these things are always evolving anyway. And it's always, you know, dependent on what happens in the world and what happens with all the rules and stuff. So even if what it may stand at now is not necessarily what's going to play out in a few months' time. So I'm not 100% sure of what the latest information is. And if they don't get to go home, it can also be a letdown. So it could go either way. No doubt if we knew for sure that they got to go back home and play any number of games in Auckland at Mount Smart, that would be monumental. But I hope so. But I guess we'll see. And if anyone knows more than us, comment that now. West Tigers were 13th last year. Their over under ladder position is 13.5. So will they go a little worse than last year? I tend to think they will. They're $67 to win the comp. I would not put money anywhere near that. They lose Mbai and Leilua, you know, not big losses. They gain Hastings, Peachy, Gildart. Let's go back to last year where they were actually my pick for like the frisky sleeper bottom 4 team to surprise people. And then the first 2 weeks of the season, I only had 2 losing best bets out of 6. And they were both weeks when I took the Tigers and they got flogged by double digits in both games. So it's kind of wrong coming out of the gate. Ultimately, the 15-1 multi that we cashed last year was thanks to the Tigers getting over 7.5 wins. They got 8 wins. So I'm not going to claim I was right. We'll just claim a pass mark for my prediction for them last year. But I was more optimistic last year than I am this year. So, you know, yeah, Hastings has looked good in the trials, but I want to see it before I believe it. Peachy, I feel like, has all the ability, but I feel like if he was on a contender where he can just fill whatever roles that contender needed, that's one thing. But on this team that could struggle, I feel like Peachy tries to do too much. And I feel like Peachy also sometimes goes missing. So I don't know how that's going to be, whether that's going to be a good fit. I'm sick of saying it's Luke Brooks' time to step up. Again, I'll believe it when I see it. Laurie is a gun. Dewey is important, but will not be back till mid-season with the injury he got last year. I noticed Robbie avoided saying Stefano Utoekamanu, and that's a bright spot in the forward pack there. And I'll throw this question to you as well. I mentioned Ricky Stewart, that hard taskmaster, drill sergeant style of coach. Does that burn the players out? Because that's what Madge is as well. I'm not optimistic. They're, as Tristan said, favourites to win the spoon. I think that's justifiable. I don't have them winning the spoon, but they easily could. I got them 15th. What about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. They're going to look, you could hear it in Robbie Farah's voice, like the passion and the love he has for the Tigers, but I'm very worried for their season. They've got one of the weakest rosters in the NRL, as you touched on. And like a lot of their top end talent, he signed for next year and onwards. So it'll be like another year that they have to like develop their younger players. They're expected to be a bottom four side, and I have them rated there. I've got them 14th, so just slightly different to what you've got them. Dewey became a leader last year, and he's only been there for a year, so it sort of shows you like the culture of that place is pretty poor. I agree with you on Maguire's coaching style. It's too intense for a bottom eight, bottom four side. He needs to be like a premiership contender with the way that he sort of drills everyone. It mentally drains them as the season goes on. But look, the problem with betting against the Tigers is that their line is set so low already that it's hard to make a case to tie up your money for 12 months. So if we're coming at it from that angle, yes, they're going to have a poor year, but it's probably one to just to watch.
And tell us about the Broncos. And, you know, we're talking about every team's over under ladder position, and we're saying what we would have, but we're not saying bet every one of them. You made the point there. It's a fair bit of money to tie up. We all love having a few futures plays, but I prefer to have a few long shot futures. We've given you an $8 one. We've got a $15 future to come, and we've got a $13 future multi as well. So hang in there, guys. We've got three more teams to go through. And this next one you're quite bullish on.
Okay, so this is probably the one that me and you have the biggest disparity on in terms of our rankings. And I'm going to go full spoiler alert here. I am a Broncos fan. So whether or not people want to buy into that bias a little bit, that's up to you. Last year, I was pretty down on them. So I like to think that I am pretty unbiased in my opinion of them, as you have to be if you want to do this full time. So their key outs, Xavier Coates, Glenn's retired. They lose Milford, who's sort of been like part of the furniture there for 10 years. So that's sort of big there. TPJ's moved to the Bulldogs, but he sort of left towards the back end of the year when he went to Penrith. And they lose Croft and Lodge. And the key-ins, everyone's talking about Adam Reynolds. We know how important he's going to be. Capewell comes in. Brenko Lee comes in from 12 months in the wilderness away from a Bellamy system. But don't forget, the last time we saw him play was in an Origin game. And we also get to see Ryan James come back to add some experience. So their over-under position is 9.5, and they're $21 for the premiership. So why don't you tell us, Jacob, why you disagree?
Well, look, I think they're going to go well. So you've got, did you say 7th? You've got them? 7th?
No, sorry. So I've got them at 7th. And I think out of all the sides around them, they can make the biggest jump towards that top eight out of the sort of teams that are in their same bracket.
And that would be a huge jump because they came 14th last year. So, I mean, I have them 10th. So I have them improving. So I don't really disagree with you because I've got them sort of in that logjam where they can push for the eight. But I just think a lot has to go right for them to make the eight. So I don't disagree that they can. But I didn't put them in, and even though I also grew up a Broncos fan, but I've had to kind of forsake them as well for the sake of the pod. I'm kind of godless, and I'm just supporting whoever I've got money on in that given game. Reynolds, that's going to fill a big void that they needed there, but I kind of question that as well. Everyone thinks that this is going to fix a lot of Brisbane's problems. There is a reason why Souths did let him go as well. If he was still an absolute superstar with plenty left in the tank, they would have kept their captain there. Brisbane has sort of had to overpay for this guy. And I just tell you, this could be a disaster with Reynolds' injury history if he gets hurt. So they better hope, first of all, that Reynolds has a healthy season. I mean, you'd admit yourself, if I told you now Reynolds wasn't going to play, you know, three quarters of the game, they're not going to make the eight right there. So he has to be healthy. Next question mark, can you pick the best possible spine? Who's in it? Like, who's the fullback? Is it Tessie New? Is it Cobbo? Is it Izarco? Do you fit all three in? Does Turpin really own that nine jersey? And the big one is who partners Reynolds in the halves, of course. And on one hand, you can say it's great to have options. But on the other hand, you bring a new halfback in and you don't know who he's playing with in the halves for your whole preseason. So if I feel like that stunts your development. I don't know much about Isra Mam. So, you know, I'll put him to a side. I actually think the best option in the halves could be Billy Walters, because I've always been a fan of him, watching him play Q Cup, watching him play for the Tigers, and he was even in Storm system. But that's a really tricky decision for Kevy. You can only pick his son if his son's like clearly playing well enough, or else he's instantly going to get criticized and questioned for that decision. So that's an awkward one. Be interesting to see how it plays out. On the positive notes, Payne Haas could be the best prop in the competition. I agree, Capewell is a great addition. And I think you're going from a team that came 16th to 14th. I see that improvement. But in saying all that, their predicted over-under for ladder position is 9.5. So everybody predicts Brisbane improvement. So I'm not, you know, saying anything radical. Where you are when you're predicting them all the way up at 7. So that's where we differ. But as I say, unless everything goes right for the spine, I don't quite see them making the 8. But on that note, I'm going to introduce our side bets. We're going to put $100 up head-to-head anytime throughout this year we have a disagreement. So obviously, if we agree, that's where we're going to like to find best bets in any given week. If we totally disagree, it's probably not a best bet. It's probably the truth that neither of us has a 60%+ winning side, but we still might put our money where our mouth is and go against each other. So I've proposed a season-long best bet, or a side bet, I should say. You can keep a record of these in a spreadsheet for us. We have both picked the same top six, as most people probably will. We have two different sides in 7th and 8th. So I went Raiders, Titans, even though you got me regretting that Titans pick already. You've gone Broncos, Sharks. Whichever one of us gets more teams correct wins the 100. If we both get 7, then it's going to be out of those sides, who finished higher. So which team did we get that finished 7th or whatever. So the tiebreaker will be out of those four sides that I've got two in, you've got two different ones. Who finishes highest out of those teams? Where I'm going a little bit against the grain with the Raiders, you're going a little bit more chalk with the Sharks, but then a lot more outlandish with the Broncos. Just two teams to go. That side bet sounds good to you, mate. I was wondering if you wanted to retroactively apply $100 to our side bets from last year, or you just want to start fresh.
I'm happy to start fresh. Let's go, 2022. Okay.
It's a new year. It's a new year, mate. And just two teams to go. North Queensland Cowboys came 15th last year. Their over-under ladder position is 13.5, $51 odds if you wanted to win the premiership. They have gained Tanua Brown, Chad Townsend, Petr Hiku. They lose Masters, Molo, and O'Neill. You start us off.
So I know there's a lot of Townsville fans and people that follow the pod north of the border. But I'm sorry to all of you guys and all other Cowboy fans, but I think they have a very poor year and I've got them coming last. So for mine, they're the weakest squad in the NRL. They're not settled on what the positions are that they're going to run with. Like, is it Townsend or Dearden? Like, Holmes and Hammer, how do they play? Is Holmes on the wing? Is Hammer at fullback? Is Holmes in center? So there's a little bit of contention there. Tom Alalo, he's saying he's all good, but you read some of the reports and like his vaccination status is still unclear. Like, is he going to be allowed to play outside of Queensland at the moment? Like, we're not too sure. And then also Colin Hess, is he going to be prop back row? So I think they're a little bit weak and unsettled. So I can see a lot of chopping and changing, and that sort of won't help them with such a young squad. And when I look last year, they had 7 wins and 4 of those wins were by 4 points or less. So with all the other teams around them improving slightly and getting stronger in comparison, like, I don't see how that number of 7 wins can be achieved again. So I can see some natural regression, and I see them as a 5 or 6 win team. And that probably puts them like in the bottom 2. And I think they'll come last.
Let me start with the positive. So you mentioned the Hammer. I think they've just got to play him at fullback. And I think the way that he really came on last year set up for a very exciting 2022. The only reason they ever tried to play Holmes at fullback was because they paid too much for him, to be brutally honest. He's a natural gun winger. I like Tulungi as well. I think Drinkwater is a first grader, but it's time for him now to prove it and really own that sixth jersey, because otherwise they've got other halves and they've got a bit of a halves conundrum there with obviously bringing Dearden last year and then spending big money on a halfback in Chad Townsend that had been basically dropped to reserve grade and wasn't even going to make the Sharks first grade side. I'm just not sure who the Cowboys were bidding against to spend that much on Townsend and how big of an impact he's going to have. He certainly can prove me wrong, but we'll see. Robson-Cotter, I like that combination there at hooker. Like, there's a couple of young, talented forwards in Lukey, Dunn. Look, Taumalolo still is a beast, but is he still the best forward in the game, which he used to be? You know, I don't quite see it. And you kind of mentioned as well that, you know, is he clashing with the coach too? And the coach is a question mark for me as well. Like, is Peyton get the best out of this group? And he's the one that greenlights a deal like going out and buying Townsend after you had Drinkwater and you already brought in Dearden. And so what's Peyton's plan? And is the plan going to come off? And then you talk about the friction that he had with his best player as well. They're another side that will not overwhelm anybody with talent. So how are they going to win games? They're going to have to improve their defense. They're going to have to play really smart. They're going to have to execute in the key moments, in the tight games. And I just like a few more of the middle of the road sides more than North Queensland as well. You said a few pod followers follow the Cowboys. One man is Jeff, our legendary pod admin. I asked him what he predicts for his team. You said you're a Broncos fan. It's funny, when you support a team, sometimes that means you know them better than anybody else. Sometimes that means you're blinded by your love. I think it's the latter for Jeff. He predicts the Cowboys in 9th. I'm sorry, Jeff. I got them same as the Podonis. I got them 16th. And that rolls us into just one more team left to preview.
Final team left to preview, the Bulldogs. So key outs for them, Kotrick, Adam Elliott, Hopewadi, Lewis, Meany, and Dallin Watene-Zelezniak, who left last season. And then they get some big ins, as we all know, Addo Carr, Matt Burden, premiership winner, Dufty at fullback, Brett Naden, who's also come from the Penrith system, and they add Pengo Jr., and they get Paul Vaughan, who's probably out to prove some doubters wrong after the fiasco last year. So their over-under position is set at 10.5, and the Dogs' premiership odds are surprisingly higher than I thought they were going to be. Oh, sorry, surprisingly lower. They're $26 to win the comp. So the one question that all Dogs fans are asking, Jacob, when I'll let you start off, will there be another recipient of a wooden spoon?
No, I don't see a wooden spoon necessarily, but I think they could be closer than people expect. Look, there's reasons to be optimistic where they haven't been in the past. Their Dogs are probably another hype team. I don't think a lot of people have them in the 8, but I reckon a lot of people think they're going to jump a few positions for sure, as evidenced by their ladder position 10.5. You're talking about a 5-spot improvement. But I also think people will just reckon they're going to be fun. Now, Burton is an absolute gun and a great signing. And, you know, Baz, maybe he can get the best out of him. But, boy, that's a lot of pressure. You've gone from being almost an all-star team at Penrith and playing centre to now being handed the keys to your own team and expected to run the show from 5'8". That is a lot of pressure when we don't know for sure who's necessarily even going to play in the halves with him, because I don't know if Avarillo is a natural halfback, and if Flanagan, they don't seem to believe in him. Now, Addo Carr, the other addition, adds a lot of enthusiasm, adds spark, but a winger can only influence a game so much. I think TPJ, lots of ability. Vaughan, I do believe, will have a big year and will strengthen their forward pack. But just the doubts for me, I mentioned halfback, but hooker as well. And even Dufty is great in attack. He's a live wire, but he can be a bit hit and miss. So look, when Baz came last year, he inherited probably the weakest roster in the NRL. So coming last was not overly shameful. Nobody wants a spoon, but it was fairly predictable. There's pressure on now. Now that you've got a few of those recruits in, they can't be cellar dwellers again. They kind of have to improve. And I'm not certain. And I just think that ladder position over under is too high when you consider this team could improve all the way from 16th to 11th and you'd still win your under bet. So to me, it's a pretty clear value there in that over-under. I know you feel the same too, but yeah, I've got the Bulldogs finishing 14th.
Okay, so pretty close. I had them at 15th. And the one word that I'd sort of put to all Dogs fans and people out there trying to handicap the Bulldogs, and that word is time. So with a new spine, new plays, like time is what they're going to need. It won't be instant success, especially since they have a culture of losing and they've had 2 years in a row now of winning the spoon, or almost winning the spoon. They came second last, Brisbane won a few years ago on for and against. But it's not as easy to break that losing culture as people think. And the Dogs have been tipped by nearly everyone as a smoky team to potentially make the eight. But I don't think their recruitment has been as good as what people think, and slightly overrated, and hasn't sort of fixed their core issues. And that big issue is in the forward pack. So they've essentially swapped Pengai Jr. with Elliott and added Paul Vaughan, but they've been ranked dead last in the NRL for post-contact meters for four seasons in a row. And like, will Vaughan's influence and Pengai Jr. really like improve that? I'll sort of question that. And I also think that, as you said, Burden and Avery Lowe are running halves. One of them is going to have to sort of control and game manage. Can they do it? Yes. Again, it'll take time. Dufty and Adokar, as you said, they're like luxury players to me, good finishers and can have good highlight plays and are exciting to watch. But like, what are, opportunities will they get when the Dogs sort of stumble around and they sort of don't really have any shape in the final attacking 20? So I see the Dogs coming close to the bottom, definitely in the bottom four. I've got them ranked 15th, and that would be my favorite bet if I had to pick one for the over-under ladder position bet, is that Dogs 10.5, because it sort of stood out to me as value.
Same to me. And you know, the bookies, we both agreed, they've done a pretty good job. The market's pretty tight, pretty accurate to our eyes. None of these teams, we were drastically different in our prediction to their over-under ladder position. But you're 15 on Canterbury, I'm 14, and it's 10.5. So we are going to play that into our top sport season multi. But we've also got, although neither of us have Canterbury dead last, they're close enough to that there's going to be some possible value in an additional market that you're going to share for us, mate. So let us know the 15 to 1 value shot followed by our toppy multi for 2022.
Fantastic. So the value shot that we found here to share today is Bet365, and it's the Bulldogs at 15 to 1 to win the wooden spoon. So I think that market is most losses at 15 to 1. And look, if you have three or four teams that are around the bottom that you think are sort of, you can't really split hairs between them, then you take the higher odds. And we definitely think the Bulldogs will be in that bottom four. So let's roll with that. And the top four multi, Jacob touched on it at the top of the preview. We've done our handicaps independently, sort of come together to provide a multi with the best teams that we sort of see that will have that will pose value. So the top sport multi for you guys, it's on the website now at 13 to 1 odds. We've got Storm to make the top four. We've got the Rabbits to make the top eight. We've got the Eels to make the top eight as well. And then we've got one of the ladder position bets. We've got the Bulldogs under 10.5. So that's the Bulldogs to finish between 11th and 16th. And then their last bet is Cowboys under 7.5 wins. So that's win as in their win record, not their ladder position. So let's roll with that at 13 to 1. And we think that's pretty good value from the Top Sport boys. Anything further to add there, Jacob?
Hard act to follow after we cashed at 15 to 1. And it cashed with like 3 weeks to go in the season as well last year. But I really like that one. So promo code TRIPOD. If you want to jump on board, we've got that bet to ride all season long. And we're going to have mixed matchups every single week, plus lots more that I'm excited to let you guys know about. In fact, Top Sport's even sponsoring another whole new brand new show that's going to be live, and I mean actually live, live and interacting with comments in about 5 minutes' time or so. That's 8:30 New South Wales time every Wednesday night. And that's a show, if you don't mind a bit of Supercoach, I am joining 2021 Supercoach champion Tim Moody, and we're doing a short, sharp show that is only the strongest Supercoach and punting advice that we can deliver in under 20 minutes. And we're going to start with some overall season advice in our first episode that is going to be happening in a few minutes' time. So first episode also this week before we also roll it into a weekly show. But thanks to everyone, again, who has joined us through our journey and our massive season preview, and we originally said, let's do about a 40, 45-minute season preview. When I was putting my notes together, I knew it was going to be over an hour, but I think there's been heaps of good stuff in there for people to consider coming into the season. I'd love to know other people's thoughts. As always, just, you know, please hit us with a like, comment, whatever. Subscribe where you get this show, whether you watch or listen, share, review. Most importantly of all, keep your punting under control this year, guys. Take a break if it's ever not under control. Keep enjoying it. Gamble responsibly. And Matthäus, can I get a leg off?
Leg off.